All right. Thank you, Miss Joyce. And he will. He'll take care of the pieces. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, working our way through Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Anyone need a worksheet? Did not get a worksheet, just slip your hand up. Got several down here, guys. Slip your hand up. They'll make sure you get one. Ephesians chapter 4. Going to do the last three verses of chapter 4. This is a very familiar passage, and of course we've talked about it often before, but it's interesting to put it into context with the rest of the scripture, the rest of that chapter. Keep your hand up till you got everybody okay? We're missing one. Everybody okay? Everybody okay? All right. Very good. Very good. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read the last three verses. We're going to back up in a little bit as we get started on this, get a running start. But look at those last three verses. Very, very familiar passage. I hope when you read the scriptures, you don't just kind of slide over the words. Let each word kind of dig itself down in there and bury itself, kind of burrow itself into your heart. Don't let any of them just kind of roll off your back. Listen to what it says here in verse 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, you may think this is kind of strange for the title, but you hang on, I'm going to put it in context. We're going to talk about being a good host. So what does that have to do with this passage on forgiveness? You just hang on. Talking about being a good host. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, you told us to get saved. You told us to take a stand. But Lord, you told us to learn all things. And Lord, you have given us gifts, some apostles and prophets, and which have given us the word of God. And then you have evangelists and pastors and teachers for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. And Lord, we need to be built. We need to grow. We need to become stronger in you. To just get saved and then go on about our own lives is not what you have designed. So Lord, I pray that you'll help us understand what it is you're trying to do. And Lord, of course, we start all this, we're one body. We may have come from many different walks of life, totally different directions, and yet we can be one in Christ, all the same family, all the same body, fitly joined together. Lord, to prepare us to be in the world as you are, that we have the same high calling. We need to walk worthy of that vocation for which we've been called, and Lord, we need to be prepared to do the works so that folks can see Christ in us, so that our words will have some validity and some weight. And when we, and with the Holy Spirit in us as well, when we give the gospel, we really can change our air. Not by simply changing folks' minds, but allowing them to know Christ as Savior, and allowing you to change from the inside out. Lord, we know that you can do this. I think it's been so long since our world has really seen this. It's hard for us to believe that that's really what it is. It's not just philosophy or social, some kind of social change was becoming new in you. And Lord, I pray that you speak to us. But please, we ask for your Holy Spirit to move, and you will give you all the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Those who have truly received Jesus Christ as Savior are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. If we have the Spirit of Christ literally dwelling in us, then we are the body of Christ on this earth. As the body of Christ, we have a calling. Jesus said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. As the body of Christ, we represent Christ. And this is a holy and awesome calling. Because of that awesome and holy calling, we must walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called. Ephesians 4:1 tells us. Now, if we are the body of Christ, we should behave as Jesus would behave. We are to bring glory to Christ. Others are to see all that Christ is by allowing Christ to be seen in us, by allowing Christ to live through us. And we need to surrender our bodies to the body of Christ. Surrender our bodies to be the body of Christ. We need to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. He bought us with a price. We're not our own. God has given us apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to guide us and instruct us in order to build up the body to do the work which we have been called to. Now, these guidelines should instruct us and lead the body to live with all lowliness and meekness and with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. We've read all this in the last few weeks. We need to put off the old man, the man of flesh, the flesh that's telling our soul, the real us, the mind, the will, the emotions, the flesh that's telling us that we need to satisfy our lusts in order to be happy. But we need to put off the old man and put on the new man, which is in Christ, which is listening to the Spirit of God. Now, when we put on the new man, we're taking off, and we talked about that middle of chapter 4 there, where it says verse 25, it talks about we're putting off lying. We're putting on truth and honesty. You'd be surprised. Some people, it's hard for them just to speak truthfully. It's like, for some reason, they just kind of have to slide around and change the truth. And sometimes for no good reason. It's just like they have a hard time just being open and transparent. You know what? If you're not transparent, how are they going to see Christ through you? Maybe because you don't want them to see what they would see if you were transparent. We need to be transparent. We need to be right with Him, clean before Him. So we're supposed to take off wrath and malice. We're supposed to be putting on forgiveness. We are leaving no place for the devil. We're putting on purity, if you will. We have taken off the selfishness and stopped being a taker and have put on generosity and become one that works in order to have something to give. All this is part of that passage right before us. And our words are no longer corrupt. Our words should no longer be hateful and hurtful and heinous. We talked about that, right? But have become edifying, and that they're helpful, healing, and hopeful. That's what we're supposed to be putting on. Now, number one on your paper here. The Holy Spirit, here we go, lives in us no matter how we take care of the place. We are the body of Christ. If you're saved, you are the body of Christ. Letter A, when we got saved, when we received Christ as our Savior, Jesus moved in. He moved into our house, our body. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Now watch me. He lives in us no matter how you take care of the place. Think about your own house. You ever have house guests? You know how it is when I have found that there's... It's good for me to have us to have house guests at least once or twice a year. We our lives are so busy, we really don't entertain as much as we probably should, but we just spend so much time with so much other stuff. And but we know we're going to have we always have a big party somewhere around New Year's and all this kind of stuff, and it forces me to go through and clean up all the paint and fix this up and touch this up and do this and do that and get everything back together. It looks nice, you know. And we did Esther's wedding, Esther and Brandon's wedding. And, of course, we went through and spruced some things up. It's always good to kind of do that because you have house guests. People are going to be in here. The thing is, they were coming no matter what happened. Now, the fact is, there were some folks, Brother Jack back here, we had someone come in and put a deck on the back of our house for the reception because we did it in the backyard. And been wanting to do it all this time, just never did it. There was a big pile of stones and dirt in the backyard that I was gonna do. And I'm sure the neighbor said, "Is that guy, man, ever gonna do something with that pile of dirt? There's stones back there." I mean, just a mess, you know. And of course, people are coming over, so what do? You finally fix it all up, and the fact is, we had someone doing that, and I had to tell the deck folks, "No, I do not have a private gardener and handyman." But Jack was there all the time. It looked like I had a private gardener and a handyman. But anyway, you do all those things, you clean it up. Let me read 1 Corinthians 3:16. I'm going to go a little bit more than what you have here, but watch this. It says, "Know ye not," just don't you know, he said, "don't you know that ye are the body, the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." Listen, our house can be dirty even if it looks clean on the outside. I've been in places where, you know, where it looks like it's really nice on the outside. Have you ever been to a restaurant that looks really nice on the outside? You walk in, you think, one of those greasy spoons, you know what I mean? And Lord, here we go, you know, and you eat by faith. You know, you're hoping you're not going to go home with anything, you know, anything extra. But listen, Jesus moved in. When you got saved, Jesus moved in. That didn't change. You can't say, "Well, he's not here today, he's not seeing the mess." He's there. Letter B, we need to be a good host to our new house guest. We need to be a good host to our new house guest. Romans 8:6, and I'll have a little bit more verses than you have here, but it says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that hath raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh." Now he says again, he lives in us. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You are hosting the Lord in your house. Do you want to live? By the way, he says, "because a carnal mind is enmity against God." You know, you can have a house guest over to the house, but you can keep the closets closed. But when somebody moves in, eventually they're going to run into some things you didn't want them to run into. The Lord lives in our house. He knows what we're thinking. Our mind can be carnal. Now remember, let me remind you, we are a soul. We're a trichotomy. We're body, soul, and spirit. Our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's who you. That's the real you. Your personality, your determination. That's who you are. Now the flesh, the soul lives in a flesh body, but the soul is supposed to also be living in a spiritual body, if you will. The flesh is telling the soul what it wants. But when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Spirit moves in. So now our spirit is working, is now connected to, is alive in Christ. So now if we want to, we can listen to what He wants us to do. Now the fact is, the carnal mind is enmity with God. Now wait a minute, we got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in. He's living with us. But when our mind is thinking carnally, we're now living with somebody we've made an enemy out of. You follow what I'm saying? Our carnal mind is enmity with Christ. But Christ moved in. We have the mind of Christ. Spirit of God came in. And so we're somehow wondering why isn't he teaching me? Why isn't he leading me? Why don't I feel his presence? Listen, you made him mad. So you could say it that way. He doesn't like to be part of all that. So do you want to live with an enemy? Why would Christ want to live with us when a carnal mind, friendship with the world is enmity with God? A carnal mind is enmity against God. But he's there. Number two, here's a question. Is the Holy Spirit comfortable in your house? I want you to think some things through with me here. Is the Holy Spirit comfortable living in your house? And when I say your house, I'm talking about you. Not talking about the four walls you're going to go home to in a little bit. I'm talking about your heart. Has the house guest been enjoying his stay, or has he been made to feel uncomfortable? Have you ever stayed someplace where you didn't feel welcome? There ever been someplace you were staying over and you just, you know, they were there, they accommodated, kind of took care of things, but you just didn't feel welcome? Have you ever stayed someplace where it was obvious that you were in the way? Have you ever stayed someplace where your presence seem to be a bother to your host? Have you ever stayed someplace where they obviously did not prepare for you to be there, and you had to stay and live amongst them? When I was on choir tour years ago, when I was in college, first time, I was a music major, and we went up through New England. And I remember the one place we stayed, they came, they dropped me off at this house, and they said, "We didn't know you were coming until 20 minutes ago. We have a ball game. There's a refrigerator. There's some leftovers in there. Make yourself a home with that. The bathroom's upstairs, and there's a shower up there, and we'll be back in a little while." Bang, the door goes shut, and there I am in this strange house. We hadn't eaten for hours and hours and hours, and you kind of look in the refrigerator, it was obvious, I don't know, I don't know what was leftovers, what was scraped off the plate, or you know what I mean? It was nothing new there, you don't know what you're getting into. So we had a long day, we were hot, we had set things up, and I thought, well, I'll go up and take a shower. So I got upstairs and I went into the bathroom. There was, I pulled a shower, turned it on, so forth. And actually, let me back up. I went into the bedroom. The bed had been slept in. I mean, it's obvious it had been slept in. I thought, well, I'll sleep on top, you know. So anyway, so I thought, well, no one's home, so I'll go ahead and I'll get a shower. I went in, I turned the shower on. And there was one little leftover bar of soap there, you know, that's been used just. And then I thought, well, let's see here. I found there was not a clean towel in the place, and the ones that were hanging were damp. So it was interesting. They went on about their lives and left me there as if I was an imposition. Sometimes we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He's in there. But many times we go about our lives as if he's an imposition. We expect him to live amongst our filth and be happy we just let him in. Sometimes we can live life as if he's not even there. You ever been in somebody's house and all of a sudden they start to argue? I mean, you're a guest in somebody's house and all of a sudden somebody says something and somebody else says something. All of a sudden the sparks start to fly. And you just kind of think, okie dokie, I'm just going to go back here and sit somewhere. You know, I'm just going to lay low while all the mess goes on. The Holy Spirit has to live with this mess. Watching them speak unkindly one to another. You know, it's no fun to be where you're not wanted. It's no fun to feel like you're just in the way. Have you ever stayed someplace where you felt you were royalty? They bent over backwards to satisfy your every wish. They put out the best towels. They break out the china. They splurge on dinner. When we were on a choir tour, we had another one of those. I mean, I went to a house and we walked in and they said, well, we've been expecting you. We've been preparing for you. And it was this couple who had never had any kids. And I was probably 18, 19 years old, and they were just tickled to death to have somebody in there. They had laid everything out. They had it all squared away. They had a guest room. It was almost like a little penthouse type apartment type thing, you know. And so, you know, I had two or three bedrooms, and we sat down, and they broke out the best china and the best water crystal water glasses. And it was the first time I ever ate sauteed mushrooms. I don't like to eat fungus. But, you know, my mom always said, be nice and be kind, eat what's set before you. And they did a sauteed mushroom thing. I thought, I'm sold. I thought, man, this is what mushrooms are supposed to taste like. I'm okay. And it was a wonderful thing. And they said, well, what would you like to do now? Well, we can do so and so. How about we go down here and we'll show you around town and so forth and so on. Now, I know we can simply put on a show, but maybe we need to live right all the time. So when the guest shows up, we're already in the groove and in the habit. It's kind of like the preacher showed up. He was visiting with the family, and he was there talking to the lady and her daughter there, and the lady was putting on putting on the dog, and she says, "Dear." She talks to her little girl, "Dear, go get the book that Mama loves." A little while later, she came back with a spring catalog. God knows. Look at number 3. Is the Holy Spirit of God grieved being at your house? Is the Holy Spirit of God grieved at being at your house? Verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." Grieve, the word blank you're looking there for, is to distress. To distress, to be sad, to cause grief, to be in heavy, to be sorrow, to be distressed. That's what I feel like sometimes when you show up somebody's house and all of a sudden there's an argument going on. I'm going to hide in the corner. It just kind of puts you on the spot. You don't want to take sides. And after a while, say, "Don't you think so, Sterling?" You know, "Oh, not me. I'm not getting into this. I'm not going to get dirty. I'm going to be in trouble no matter what I do." That's what we do with the Holy Spirit. There's stuff going on down in our hearts or things that we do, and he says, "I'm not in on that. You're on your own on this one." I had a guy do. I think it was a preacher. He was just joking, and he says something, and then he was looking at his wife and said, "Well, that's just the way women are, isn't that right, Sterling?" I said, "Oh, man, I'm not going into this. Not me. Uh-uh. I'm not going there. I'm out of this." We went two years ago or so. Y'all know Tim Raven. Pastor Tim Raven's been here to preach. In fact, he's coming in next spring for us again. He's coming in next March. You'll enjoy him. And he asked us to come down and do a family weekend with him. And Janet spoke to the ladies, and I spoke to. Isn't spanked the past tense of spoke? I spoke to the men and preached for church and sang for them and so forth. But after the morning service, we all went back to the Ravens' house. And their kids are all grown up and married, but right there part of the ministry. And he took us back to the house, and little by little, they kind of took care of their ministries and so forth, and they kind of all gravitated back to the house there. And we all had lunch together. I'll be honest with you, it blessed my heart. I mean, I was not grieved. I was sitting in their house, and Tim was all excited. He came home, and he's talking to his wife, Sharon. And, of course, Sharon will be here to speak. She'll speak with us on that Tuesday morning, by the way. You'll enjoy that, ladies, next spring. But anyway, they're to talk and have a good time chatting, you know, and I'm just kind of watching this thing. And in comes one of the families, you know. How many kids do they have? Okay, in comes one of the families, and they're excited about this. And I said, "So and so was at church today, and I think about ready to receive Christ." And they were excited. And the daughter came in. They said something, this and another thing. And it was just. And then a little while later, another one came in, and they were chatting about this. Say, "This is what happened today." And they were all excited about the ministry. We sat down at dinner, and they're laughing, and they're joking, and they're having a good time, and they're you know, being a blessing to one another, and all this stuff. And they had the little kids there, and all this stuff. It was just a wonderful thing. The Holy Spirit likes to live in a place like that. Does our home life make the Spirit of God uncomfortable? Because He's there. Do our conversations make Him distressed, grieved? If you were the Holy Spirit and you were living in you, would you feel trapped? Does the Holy Spirit feel trapped by the places you force Him to go? Does He feel uncomfortable by the things He's forced to hear because He lives in our house? We are the body of Christ. Number four, Jesus doesn't get to leave. Now, that's good for us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, but He never gets to leave. Look what it says in verse 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." That word "sealed" there means to stamp. To stamp as a possession for security or preservation, to attest to verify ownership. Anybody watched, everybody see the movie Toy Story? Okay. On the foot, underneath of the shoe of Woody, it says, on the bottom of every toy that Andy had, he put his name on there. Mine. Andy's. God has stamped His name on you. And this is how He put the stamp on there. It's the Holy Spirit. Watch this. You cannot be demon-possessed if you're saved. Because you belong to God. Listen, it's like picking up this toy. It says, "Oh, this belongs to Andy. All right, that's not mine. I'm going to give it to Andy." Listen, when Satan comes around, if he wanted to come and get you, I'll tell you what, when he looks at you, he says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa." Don't say to mess with him. There's the Spirit of God on there. I can't break through that. He belongs to God. Your soul belongs to Him. It's sealed unto the, it verifies ownership, unto the day of redemption. He doesn't remove the Holy Spirit, because if he removes the Holy Spirit, you're no longer preserved. You're fair game again. You don't, you have to get saved all over. You can't. This is all God's already paid for. He saved everything. But watch me. He's stamp of approval. Number two, the day of redemption is the day. Watch this, it's going to sound funny. The day of riddance. R-I-D-D-A-N-C-E. R-I-D-D-A-N-C-E. It's the riddance of all the old nature and the earthly body. He has sealed us. It's the earnest, it's the down payment until settlement day. Settlement day is when we go up with him and says, come up hither, here we go, new body, new glorified body in my presence. But we're not there yet. So he seals us. He puts his stamp and says, you're mine, I'll be back to get you. All right, for the body. But the fact is, in the meantime, that Holy Spirit is that stamp on us that says, I or you belong to him. Letter B, Jesus is not just visiting with us when we're at church. I think some people think, well, you know, I go to church and we kind of talk about this and I go home and do as I please. He went home with you. He goes home with us. He's not just visiting with us when we're at church. Jesus has to go home with us. Did you ever hear that little story? A preacher was preaching, and a little boy was listening in church that morning, and all of a sudden they were heading home, and this little boy starts crying. He was crying. And it was almost inconsolable. And finally, he said, son, what's the matter? He said, you hear the preacher said this morning? He said, every little boy should have a daddy who loves him and cares about his home and takes care of him. Everybody should have a mommy, and then mommy and daddy shouldn't have to, the little boy shouldn't have to listen to mommy and daddy argue. And they ought to have a nice, godly home, and one where they don't have alcohol, don't have this. But he said, why you're crying? I don't want that. I want to stay with you guys. I want to stay with you guys. Letter C. Jesus not just visiting with us temporarily. I know we got these extra little words in here, but I want you to get the point here. He's not just visiting. He's not just here temporarily. Jesus is stuck living with us as long as we're alive on this earth. Letter D. But Jesus is willing to help with the chores if we will allow him to. He's willing to work through us and in us to make us what we need to be. Letter E, Jesus won't help to do things that go against God's word. Jesus is not going to help us do things that go against God's word. Number five, it makes the Spirit very sad to watch you do things that are against God's word and thus automatically bad for us too. It causes sorrow and heaviness. I want you to see what it says here. Verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you with all malice. Number six, it pleases the Holy Spirit when we behave ourselves as we should. Now, how is that? Well, we've been there. Letter A, we are to be loving God supremely. Isn't that what the law is? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because you know what it is. We are to be loving God supremely. Letter B, we are to be loving others as ourselves. This is the law of God. Letter C, living by the law of God brings proper glory to God. I'm just putting this back in perspective what we've been learning all along here. So living by the law of God brings proper glory to God. Letter D, when we bring glory to God, others see Jesus. Right? You say, well, we've already heard this. Are we doing it yet? Letter E, when Jesus is lifted up into the forefront, folks are drawn to Jesus. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto him. How's he lifted up? By bringing glory to him. How do you bring glory to him? By allowing them to see him through you. And how do they see you, him through you? By him living through what is he. We know that he passed from death into life because he loved the brethren. He that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not is knoweth not God, for God is love. It's not compromise. It's living truth. It's living with what we're supposed to do. Number seven. We're almost done here. No, we're not. Number seven. Another page in there. We need to dress properly when guests are in the house. We need to dress properly when guests are in the house. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't like robes. You know, little boys are. And so I remember, I shouldn't tell you this, but I remember being 6, 7, 8, 9. We had a fancy bathroom upstairs, but there was an issue with it, and so we didn't use it. And there was one down on the main floor. And I'd go downstairs and take my bath. You know what little boys do when they get out of the bathtub? They streak upstairs. And I would just kind of look and run and go up the steps to go upstairs. Didn't have a stitch of clothes on. And my mom said, Sterling! You know, you're stark naked. What was the Aunt B said? You savage. Anyway, thing is, I had to go right in front of the front door. That's where the staircase goes up, right? You know. But you know, I'm fast enough, they'll never know. Just a blur. But when you have people at the house, you gotta do right. You gotta put some clothes on. Be somebody. Well, it's been a little years ago now, but one day on a Saturday, back when I was down in Maryland, I was out working in the yard and had a lot of stuff that I was out in my jeans and I had a t-shirt on, and I was dirty, I was messy, and grass in my hair, and I've been mowing this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, I remember something I needed to do at the church for Sunday. It was Saturday, and there's not going to be anybody over there. And so I drove over. This is only 3.5 miles from the church. I ran over to do something. And I walked in, and I thought, this is going to be great. We'll get in and get out. And by the time I walk out of the church, here comes these people. And they said, Pastor Walsh, you have arms. They've never seen with long sleeves and a jacket on. My hair was a mess. I said, I've never seen your hair like this. I have enough hairspray on here. This passes for a bike helmet, but anyway, it was. They said, "Well, I can't believe that your hair's not all fixed up and all this stuff." Fact is, we need to put off the old clothes, and we need to put on our presentable clothes. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." He says we need to dress right. How's that? Number eight, put off the old man. In chapter 4, verse 22, it says, "And that ye put off concerning the former conversation," the old way of life, "the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." Well, verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." What grieves the Holy Spirit? Verse 31, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. We need to put that stuff away. Letter B, bitterness. This is interesting. Piercing, sharp, pungent effect. Watch. that poisons you. It's nasty. It's repulsive. It's a repulsive demeanor. Bitterness. We're mad at somebody else, but frankly, what it does is just poison us. We need to put that away. The remembrance of the repulsiveness of the circumstance is easily revived. What I'm saying is this. Stop hanging. Stop hanging on to things that have hurt you. Get rid of them. You know, when I was talking about, you know, you got folks in there, all of a sudden in their house, all of a sudden they're bickering. That's not the first time they bickered. In fact, probably it's been accumulating over the years. You've heard the story that the guy and his wife went into counseling. They said to the pastor, I don't know what it is, but every time we have an argument, my wife gets historical. Don't you mean hysterical? No, historical. She brings up everything I've ever done in my entire life. That's not forgiveness. Letter C, wrath. These are the old clothes. The dirty shirts. The stinking socks. The pair of tennis shoes that should have been thrown out. That eat into the floor when you leave them staying there. You know what I mean? Wrath. That word there is passion. As if breathing hard. It's a fierceness. It's an indignation. It means the snorting of a bull. I think we are often trying to intimidate our opponent to get them to back down so we can have our way. Well, you better. I'll tell you what. That's not the Spirit of God. Can you imagine walking into some friend's house as a guest and that's what you see? Whoa. Just kind of lay low. Letter D, anger. Anger. That word means desire, watch me, desire to a point that reaches out and acts upon it in a violent, violent way. Looking for vengeance. Well, I know they did so-and-so. Oh, they'll get theirs. I've heard wives and husbands say that about each other. Well, they do so-and-so, but I'll get them. And they say it with a smile on their face, but they're really going to get them. Oh, in Christian love, of course. And then he's going to get her. And he's going to get them. You know what it does? The Bible says it's corrupt. That means it's like rusting away. It's shooting holes in that relationship. You can say it with a smile long enough, but eventually you've shot enough holes in your relationship that it won't hold water anymore. Clamor. Letter E, clamor. That means to cry, to become loud and disorderly. Means, I don't know whether you can spell this or not, causing a ruckus. That's the word you're looking for. R-U-C-K-U-S, ruckus. Causing a ruckus. To make a lot of noise, looking for attention. What you want to draw attention to, you're hurt. Trying to bring attention to their to the fault of theirs. Well, you know, I mean, I've forgiven them. I've forgiven them. It's okay. It's all no, you haven't. You're still making a lot of noise about it. Don't tell me you've forgiven them. You haven't forgiven anything. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. Evil speaking. Letter F. To vilify. To make them out as the bad guy. Well, you know, I was just sitting there minding my own business. When all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, they just attacked me. Brandon, I'm sorry. We're sitting in school.
one desk in front of another. And the kid sits there and does this. So the guy in front of him finally has enough. And he turns around. Oh, watch it. And you know where we're going, right? Have a seat. And he's the one who turns around and gets in trouble. And I said, I was just sitting here. But see, when he turned around, it probably brought on blood. I wasn't doing it to vilify. But you know what it does? To speak unkindly of. To speak with the intention to hurt. To hurt their feelings. To hurt their reputation. To feel relieved of your own anger pressure by exploding on or about someone else. Dumping it on somebody else. Vilify. Letter G, put away. He says all those things need to be put away. It really means to be kept at a safe distance from you. You can't get rid of all that stuff out of your life, but you can keep it at a safe distance. I'm not going there. I'm not going to get close to this stuff. Putting that all away with all, letter H, malice, worthless, injurious, noisome, badness. Here's the word, malignity. M-A-L-I-G-N-I-T-Y. It's like a cancer. This stuff will just eventually eat you up alive. Number nine, we got to move fast. Not only do we put off the old man with all that bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking, number nine, put on the new man. What's the new man? Verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. God says, I can make you a new person. Letter B, he says, watch this, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is the body of Christ. That word kind means employed in the work of being useful. In other words, this is my job. I'm the body of Christ. Isn't that right? Walk worthy of the vocation of wherewith we've been called. Here's my job. To be of good use. Be kind, to be employed in the work of being useful, to behave in a gracious manner. What's graciousness? It's undeserved by the recipient. They didn't deserve it. In fact, maybe they deserved a punch in the nose. But he says, put away all the anger and clamor and evil speaking, and be ye kind. Your job is to be of use. Edifying, drawing them to Christ. Letter C, be ye kind one to another. That's in our interaction with others. Not just when no one is bothering you, but when you're around others. So, well, you know what? I'm a good guy. It's just they did so-and-so to me, and I just couldn't take it anymore. So in other words, you're really kind as long as nobody bothers you. So as long as nobody's bothering you, but see, as long as no one's bothering you, you don't have to be kind. You don't have to work up kindness because there's nobody bothering you. Kindness is when you can be gracious when they're not so good. Letter D, tender-hearted. Well-compassioned, that is, here's the word, sympathetic. Sympathetic. To deal with them while you're feeling their pain and their hurt. Have you ever, you know me in funny home videos that's being recorded right now. Sunday night, I don't know, just one of those things. But every once in a while they get a segment that I can't even watch because they're going to hurt. And every, ooh, ooh.
You can feel it. You ever know what I mean? Just, oh, I felt that. You know. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, the little spoon and the thimble and the whole works, you know. He says, you know what? When someone comes at you and they're lashing out, there's a good chance that they're hurt. Mike Allison, one of our favorites, he's going to be here in a few weeks in the September to preach for us. And he was talking about his dog. And the dog, somebody chased it or scared or something, started. Anyway, he went out in the road and he got hit by the car. But he was messed up, but he got up and ran away, and this night he chased the dog down, and when he tried to help the dog, he said, "The dog bit me." Why did a dog bite him? He was hurt. That's all. He was hurt. When somebody lashes out at you, chances are they're hurt. I think everybody in the world's insecure. I really do. We just all deal with it in different ways. We all wait for everybody else to shake our hand first. We all think everybody else has everything together but us. I do. People say that I intimidate them. I'm more intimidated than I am intimidating. When someone's having a hard time, feel their pain. Well, you know what they did to me. You know what they said? Well, maybe they're hurting. Jesus had we've gone through it. John the Baptist had died, and this was going on. All this stuff was going on. And finally he said, let's just go up to the hill here, and we'll just relax a little bit. And the whole crowd showed up with all their problems. And he turned around, and he healed them all. And they got done healing them and said, well, now they're hungry, and they need to feed 5,000 people. Here we go. Well, so I can't do that. You can't. But now you're the body of Christ. And when the Spirit of God is living through you and you're yielding to Him, you may be surprised what God will give you the grace to do. He says, letter E, forgiving one another. I like this. You know what this word forgiving means? To grant as a favor. It was not that it was deserved, but because of the graciousness. It means to rescue and to pardon for the sake of the other, even if it actually causes you more distress, even if it causes you more hurt and more pain. It means to deliver in kindness. They didn't deserve that. No, they didn't. I didn't deserve to have them treat me that way. No, you didn't. Forgive them. Just do them the favor. Letter F. You have a letter F? You don't have a letter F? Okay. He says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. We're supposed to forgive. And you've heard me do this, but I'm going to finish out to get an idea. Even in the same way as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. How is that? By dying on the cross for us. We spit in Jesus' face, and we're supposed to go to hell. But instead, He takes our hell for us. We sin against Him. And He takes the punishment for our sin. So there's no way in the world I could do that. You're right. And I'll be honest with you. I think that we have seen so little true living as the body of Christ in Christendom in the last few generations that a lot of people don't understand. So that's just abnormal. It's God. Of course it's abnormal. It's not normal. But that's because, listen, when it's not normal, then we see it as Christ. Look, how did they forgive me? Listen, when somebody wrongs you big time, what a wonderful opportunity to show them Christ. Now, it's not about, okay, I'm going to be the bigger man. No. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to be the bigger man. He threw himself on the grenade with no fanfare. He took the dive. He took the bullet for us. That's what forgiveness is. You know what? We think we've done God a favor by showing up at church sometimes. God's the one who did the favor. He says, we're the body of Christ. If we're going to be the body of Christ, we need to act like Christ. Behave like Christ. And you're only going to behave like Christ when Christ is living through you. Now, he's living in your house. He's not going away. Let me ask you, does he enjoy the stay? Is he enjoying the stay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for your grace and for your mercy, allowing us to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Forgive us when we grieve you. The anger, the malice, the clamor, the evil speaking, all that mess. And you have to sit there in that mess. Sit there in that filth. Things we have going on in our mind, places we allow our mind to go and bring that filth, and you have to sit there in that filth, feeling unwelcomed in the way and bothered. Lord, forgive us. But Lord, we thank you that you'll work through us. Help us to be you in the world that we live. Live through us. Heads are bowed.